Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2025. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 74, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Alex K., Dana P. and Eileen M. on the Big Book. Our reader of the 12 Steps is Justine F. and the 12 Traditions, Kathy B. Our newcomer greeter is Carla H. and Shelley E. will give announcements. The reference numbers for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, January 26th, 22,111. 22111. That's for yesterday's special edition. And this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting reference ID number is 22,112. 22112. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Justine F. in Oregon, compulsive overeater, bulimic, living in recovery. Today in the process, here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. And I will now ask Kathy B. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. My name is Kathy, a recovered compulsive overeater in Austin, Oklahoma. These are the 12 steps or the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be full of self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn in public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, fans, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy B. from Oklahoma. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 74, paragraph 2. I will now ask Alex K. to begin reading and sharing.
Thank you, Jody. Hi, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. Notwithstanding the great necessity for discussing ourselves with someone, it may be done. It may be one is so situated that there is no suitable person available. If that is so, this step may be postponed. Only, however, if we hold ourselves in complete readiness to go through with it at the first opportunity. We say this because we are very anxious that we talk to the right person. It is important that he be able to keep a confidence, that he fully understand and approve what we are driving at, that he will not try to change our plan, but we must not use this as a mere excuse to postpone. Well, I looked up the word necessity, and it means essential requirement, something indispensable, and it is essential that I do step 5 and do it as soon as possible and do it with someone who understands. And for me, that means another compulsive eater who shares this disease with me and is in recovery and has gone through the steps and can share experience, strength, and hope and guide me as I do it. Someone I can trust to keep whatever I tell them confidential. And early in program, this wasn't easy for me because I didn't really trust anyone. But my fellows taught me by example in meetings how to share honestly with others. I saw others do it and receive only unconditional love and acceptance, and that gave me courage to try it. I learned at meetings and on outreach calls about how to share and be honest about my feelings, which I had little experience doing before program. I learned that it was okay and safe to do it, and that there were others like me who understood and supported me. And not only was it okay, but it's vital for my recovery to do it. I found a sponsor who I developed a connection with, who I could tell my deepest secrets to. I could tell her things that I'd never told anyone else before, and she still accepted and supported me. But it was a process. I wasn't immediately completely trusting at my first meeting. I wasn't immediately able to be rigorously honest and to express my feelings, because I was so emotionally shut down in the beginning. It took time. But my willingness and my trust and honesty gradually grew more and more. And it's something I never would have considered doing before program, bearing my soul, sharing my innermost thoughts and feelings, and became natural. Of course, at first it was awkward and uncomfortable, but it got easier with practice. I've done more than one fifth step, and I'm sure I'll do it again. And now I want to do it because I've seen how much it helps me get relief from the things blocking me. And I'm so grateful that I have fellows in my life now who I can share intimately with. And what a gift it is to experience that, to have someone be my loving witness and listen to my inventory. And then I get to do it for someone else, which is always an honor. Thank you, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Alex Kay from California. All right. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Again, we're on page 74, paragraph 2. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Linda G.
Linda G. Anyone else?
Sandy S.
Sandy S. All right, let's go with that group. Wendy B., Deborah G., Linda G., and Sandy S. Go ahead, Wendy B.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And that one line in there that says, we talk to the right person. And I just love this directive, you know, that we get to be discerning and selective. And it just reminds me of the share I heard earlier this last week that we need to be totally honest about everything, but not to everyone. And we get to choose, you know, who is trustworthy and safe to hear our truth. And, you know, we don't need to be vulnerable with people who harm us. You know, we learn to love ourselves enough to protect ourselves with boundaries. And I also love these sponsorship ideals of being able to keep a confidence, being trustworthy, to not share private information with others, you know, without their permission. And the ideal of being understanding and compassionate, you know, as we listen to our sponsee's struggles. And the ideal of being approving of the process, you know, and allowing the sponsee to go through at their own pace, you know, what works for them, you know, in their circumstances and their commitments, and allowing them the dignity of recognizing what works and doesn't work for them. And that goes along with the last ideal in this paragraph of not trying to change them, you know, allowing God to do the work necessary to help them grow and change, you know, as he reveals himself to them. And, you know, we as sponsors can't control the work that God is doing in them. you know, God is the one who's transforming them, and we get to just help facilitate the process and be a witness to the miracles. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Deborah G., please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And thank you so much, Jody, for your service today and everyone that's making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're on the line. You're my tribe. And I was thinking about the first time I did a fifth step. I was in treatment with my alcoholism, and that was the first experience with recovery, and it was a safe place. I was inpatient, and I had to talk about a lot of things to get to a place where I was free of all that. You know, getting all that out, having somewhere to go to talk to somebody, and having my feelings about it, it was lovely. I actually felt the experience of that freedom. I can remember that now. And then they had us do step work. It was a Hazleton pamphlet. And I had gone back to, after I graduated, to finish my fourth and fifth step with the minister on staff, which I just love that man, and I see him periodically in Prescott. And there was a freedom, more freedom in this. And then, you know, moving forward in my recovery with different programs, and I've always had lovely sponsors. All I had was sponsors after that. Sponsors, always caring, kind, compassionate, helpful. You know, they would write down patterns and with character defects and things to look at, and then what the opposite were, what is. And then I was able to do that with other people, you know, with my sponsees, the same thing. Being a good listener, really listening to what they're saying, and also being open. You know, I learned, because a lot of the things, I don't think that, this is just my experience, I don't think that we're separate. I think we're all connected. And whatever I have, you have. And whatever you have, I have. And we're just all here to hold hands and help each other through this so we don't have to live in that suffering anymore. And that's what I remember in doing this step. I'm doing this so I don't have to go back to whatever addiction that I was doing, so I could live a life that I'm living today because of it. And yes, there were people that, it was interesting, I did this one workshop and they just paired us up. And I just went for it, you know, because again, you know, I want to get free. But anyways, I'm just so grateful for this step, and it connects me with people. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Did you call on me?
We can't hear you, Jody.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you. Yes, I was saying, Linda G., it's your turn. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I am very grateful for this step, because in sharing the results of my fourth step with my sponsor, I saw a pattern of self-seeking and selfishness and self-interest that had a lot to do with the failure of two of my marriages that had their own weak points. That's not to be debated, but my weak points also had a lot to do. And I was able to take that on and speak to both of my husbands and own up to them, which is something I had never done before. I had blamed them for everything. And both of them accepted my amends with complete acceptance. And I was astonished and I was pleased and it was great. And I was able to see that there had been a lot of self-seeking and selfishness, and I agreed there's a lot of bitterness in that. And this weekend, my husband had a Zoom phone call with his family, who I had never met before. And I expected that there would be a lot of interaction with me, that they would be interested in talking to me and in getting to know me. And they didn't say one word to me. And at first I was upset about it, and then I did a quick 10th step, and I realized that that was childish and self-seeking and wanting to be the center of attention. And I gave that up and just accepted it for what it was, and it was just them being them and having their Zoom phone call. So I let go and let God, and it was a much better experience for me than it would have been had I acted out. And I was very grateful for doing that fifth step, because it showed me that I had a pattern of that, and it allowed me to behave differently under different circumstances. And I am very grateful for that. So that fifth step is a God-given experience for sure. And I am grateful to my higher power for allowing me to see that. And I'm grateful to my sponsor for helping me see that. And I'm grateful to program for helping me see that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda G. I didn't get your state, Linda, so next time maybe let us know where you're calling from. Sandy S., where are you calling from?
Yeah, hi, this is Sandy S., recovering compulsive overeater by the grace of God. I am calling from Florida, but I live in Asheville, North Carolina. And I'm just wondering what's important to share. A lot of times I get on the line and I have no idea what I'm going to say. But I have this mantra, a new mantra, and it's, I allow God to heal me. And it's, I allow God to speak through me. And it gets more powerful when there's another person there. And I'd like to be very specific. I am so uncomfortable being in Florida. And at the same time, it is so fulfilling. And the hardest part for me, unlike other people, love the first share when the person said, we need to use discernment with whom we share. And I've never used discernment. It's like I've been a compulsive sharer. And I just pray each day, just like for me, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, because it's like oxygen. You know, I won't be breathing if I don't have oxygen. But just really being able to share with myself until the right person appears. And that is so hard. But I just do it a day at a time. And I was feeling so lonely and alone. And something told me to call into the meeting early. And just hearing people's voices, it just did something to my soul. I don't feel so alone anymore. It's like a miracle. And it's something I can't control. All of a sudden, this intuition came to me, called into the meeting. And, you know, not only do I want to allow God to heal me, but I want to be acknowledged when it happens, like right in this moment. I do not feel so alone. And that was, I think, at the core of the compulsive overeating, that there is something greater than me that is there for me. Not in the instant I want it. Let me just say that. I just have to practice patience. And with that, I pass.
Ah, thank you so much, Sandy S. from North Carolina. Nice to hear you. Okay, we are on page 74. The last paragraph on the page, which is the second paragraph. And we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
This is Linda G. I'm calling from Alabama.
Ah, thank you, Linda. That's right, Alabama. Who else would like to share on this paragraph about step five?
Carol P., Michigan.
Carol P., Michigan.
Nancy L. J., California.
Nancy L. J.
Polly Q., California.
Who is that?
Polly Q., California, Northern California.
Okay, Polly Q., California.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Colorado.
Okay, great. Let's go with those four.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Okay, I'll add you, Nancy. We'll start with Carol P. and go on to Nancy LJ. Please go ahead, Carol.
Hi, Carol P. in Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. And I remember my first fifth step. I had it written down. I handed it to my sponsor, and she handed it back. She said, "Oh, no, you read this or tell me this." I was like, "Well, then I'm not ready right now." And I took it back. Probably waited another 2 weeks, and we had time. And the only thing I had on there was one thing. I was in my early 20s, and I had been holding on to something since my teens. And I, you know, put that in the inventory and told her, and that's the only thing it was. She said, "That was really important that you did that, but it wasn't thorough." So that was my first step into a fifth step. But the minute I walked into OA and heard about the fifth step, I knew that secret that I was holding on to had to be talked about, and it was very freeing that day. Then I went on to do a more thorough inventory, and that was really very freeing too. It was right around Christmas time, and we did, you know, the fifth step at her house, and afterwards we put the TV on for a while, and some group was singing the Alleluia chorus, and that's exactly how I felt. I just felt so free. So, and I have ever since, in the probably four or five fifth steps I've done over the decades, and they're just very freeing. So finding somebody that, you know, feels, it's always been my sponsor, you know, and I have picked sponsors that have been trustworthy and loving, you know, and supportive and firm, and it's always been that that freedom afterwards. It really is that we'll get to, you know, in a few paragraphs here. But just so necessary because, you know, like the truth will set you free, and it always does. And it's never, none of them have ever been so shocked at what I've said that, you know, they just went out of the room running, you know, although that's how I felt it might happen, but it never did. It was just really loving support and, you know, showing me patterns. You know, the sponsor I have right now is, she's been my sponsor for a long time. And she really knows my patterns, and she called me on them, and I'm grateful for that because I don't want to get stuck in my crap, you know, and she helps me get out of it. So finding that trustworthy, loving person who supports me, encourages me, and calls me out sometimes if I need it. You know, but just to get that off of my chest and, you know, let somebody else know who I am and what's going on. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carol P. from Michigan. Nancy LJ, it's your turn, and I didn't quite get your state.
Good morning. This is Jay, and I'm from California. I am super grateful to be on the line today. Thank you, moderator. Thank you, everyone listening. Just wanted to check in. Fifth step. This is a tricky one with sponsees, particularly sponsees that haven't been through the steps before. I just wanted to say, you know, newcomers, with my experience is my first fourth step was so long. My poor sponsor, you know. But luckily she was retired. She was open and we sat in a parking lot. I was going to buy her lunch after. So she was captive audience and she was very giving with her time. So I really try to, I let my sponsees know, I think it's Harlan that says on the cause, 19 words or less, you know, on your cause column, because I've done my fourth a few times and it just doesn't help to keep going on. For me, it doesn't help to keep just, and he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that, you know. And so I really try with my sponsees, I try to let them know that, and I really like for them to get it done, but sometimes we do have to break it up in two or three pieces. And that's, I hate to do that to people, because you want to get it out. We don't want to marinate in this step and we don't want to lose our quote nerve, I guess. So anyway, great stuff. Briefly, this is my first Monday in quote retirement, forced retirement. I got laid off on Friday. And, you know, I've always hated Mondays, Monday morning at work. And interesting how that's a different perspective today, being retired and not quite ready to be retired. But I'm just breathing and enjoying this meeting, loving HP, and I'm grateful today. A new chapter in my life, and I am thankful for the lessons I'm about to learn. And I pass.
Thank you so much. And it's now time for Polly Q from California.
Hi, moderator. This is Polly Q from Northern California. Thank you for your service. The fifth step, I've done so many, to be honest. Just got done doing another one not too long ago. And I'm in two different programs, so I have two different sponsors. Actually, I've had a couple of sponsors in OA, and they were wonderful. And I've had the same sponsor in Al-Anon, and I just got done doing my third fifth step with her. And she knows all the dirt, you know, she knows everything. And so, because she was the fifth step in the beginning, so. The fifth step, just do it. Just do it. You know, I mean, once you do it, in my experience, now it's just, oh, well, time to do a fifth step. You know, it's not a big deal. Just find somebody that you think is trustworthy who's in the program and do it. I mean, that's how I did it. And it worked out fine. You know, that person, and I do fifth steps, I've done many fifth steps as well with other people. You know, I've been a sponsor doing the fifth step. And I will tell you, it is a lovely experience, no matter how it gets done. It's freeing. I mean, it's hard to explain how free you feel, how free I felt anyway, after doing each one. And I'm not unique, you know. I mean, I'm unique to my higher power, but I'm not unique in my disease. I'm not unique in my character defects. I'm not unique in the consequences. I'm really not unique. The first time I thought I was, but after I did it, I found out, no, I'm not. And so, if it's another food addict who has done these steps, then I'm safe. And if I'm not, I'll know right away, and then I can just, you know, reverse course and find somebody else to do it with. But it is always, always God, always. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Polly Q from California. Jordan L.
from Colorado. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jody. Thanks for moderating the meeting for us this morning. My name is Jordan Nell. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This is an interesting paragraph. So I was talking to a new person, a new sponsee, yesterday evening, and we were talking about abstinence, and we were talking about how uncomfortable abstinence has been in the past, that for her it's always been sort of this white knuckle experience, and it feels like a punishment, and it sucks, basically, right? And I'm so glad that I got to have that conversation, because it reminded me of the same thing, of when abstinence felt like that. And then it reminded me of like getting to have this entirely new experience with it. When I came back to OA in 2017, and I really like fully committed to working the steps all the way through, completely and totally abstinent, because I heard others talking about what a gift it was on the other side of it, this sort of like neutrality that they had around food, and that abstinence was no longer a white knuckle experience. And so reading through this paragraph, I was just sort of struck by some of the words here, like being able to find the right person. It's funny because that sounds like instructions like, hey, you need to go out and find the right person, or make sure that you have the right person, right? But I don't think that is what the intention was. Like finding the right person, it was kind of like the experience of abstinence. It was not me needing more control over my food. It was me being able to surrender to something completely and totally foreign to me, right? And it's the same with like the right person. It's being able to like allow whoever into my life, that whoever it is that God would have me do this step with, you know? And it really does work. Like, it really does. This higher power puts the people in my life that I need to have in my life at that point in time, like 100%. This has worked for me 100% of the time for the last 7-8 years, whatever it's been since 2017. And I continue to trust it. And I'm very grateful for that, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Nancy L., please go ahead.
Good morning, moderator. I'm sorry I can't remember your name, first name. This is Nancy L. in Arizona, gratefully recovered. And I've done a few fifth steps, but I remember my first one was very long. I probably wrote more than 14 words or 19 words, whatever, the cause and all that. But anyway, what it required of my dear friend, who also was in OA, was that we had to meet twice. I thought it would be once. She thought it would be once. But, you know, halfway through, we were both just tired. And we weren't old or anything. I don't know why, but we just decided to meet again the next week. So we did. And I got my fifth step completed. Very, very grateful for that. However, when I got home, you know, I had that little check in my spirit, if you will, where my higher power is saying, Nancy, you know what you hung on to. You hung on to one thing, and you're hanging on to it. It's not going to help your recovery at all. And I just kind of just dismissed it. And I said, yeah, I'll deal with it. Well, finally, I did go ahead and release that information to a person that I don't think was the right person. I'm not sure what all happened, but the end result was that this person said, oh, wow, that could have happened, and this could have happened, and that could, which made me feel all the more condemned. But, you know, I got home, spent that hour with God, and basically how I felt was I just completed an entire fifth step, and that brought me a lot of joy. Whether the person responded the way I was hoping, maybe a little bit of compassion, whatever, but there was none. But it was okay. It was all right. I got it done. I got the job done, and I've done quite a few fifth steps since then. So anyway, this is Nancy. Welcome, newcomers, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. We have time for two or three more shares. Who else would like to share?
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
What was your first name?
Lauren Grace.
Lauren Grace from New Jersey. Great, thank you. Anyone else?
Lorraine M. from California.
Lorraine M., California. Okay, let's go with you two and see if we have time for someone else. Lauren Grace, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lauren Grace B., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in South Jersey. When I had given away fifth steps before, twice before I did it the big book way. Once, I can't even remember. I think I just wrote down my life story the first time. Did get some insight from the person who heard it, which was wonderful. The second time, I went through the OA questions, and I'm not sure. It was good. It felt good just to do it, but it was more checking off the box. So about 3 years ago, I gave away my fifth step to my sponsor, and I'm glad that I could do it with my sponsor, because she knew me and she was going to be continuing to work with me. So I felt like it built trust, but it also gave her knowledge about me to help her understand just the day-to-day things that came up in my life. I was so afraid I'd do it wrong. Oh my goodness, I just was afraid I'd do it wrong. And actually, when I spoke to her and started giving it away, I had included my resentments in the fourth column. I hadn't left it just what my part in it was. It included my resentments. So I had to go back and do a lot of them over again. So now when I'm working with someone, I ask them to do one. We do one together, or they do one and then we talk about it just to make sure they're on the right track. The other thing I learned through the School of Hard Knocks, and this is just for me, I was in another step group. It wasn't OA, and but we were talking about eating. And someone gave me their fifth step, but they weren't abstinent. And what I realized when they weren't abstinent, there was so much shame when they gave it to me because they hadn't fully gotten over the shame of eating and that whole path. So they were shamed when they had to give me their fifth step, and there was no relief there. So for me personally, unless God shows me, that's not something that I plan to do again. And I am truly honored by the confidence that people have that I won't tell their story. Sometimes it takes a long time, but it's truly a blessing. And that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lauren Grace from New Jersey. Lorraine M., it's your turn.
Hi, this is Lorraine M., California, compulsive overeater. I've been in the program, I want to say, since 2017, which included relapse. And during that time, I've had the opportunity to do lots of fifth steps. And my first one was in a program called Back to Basics, where you go super fast and you don't get in detail like all of maybe the resentments and fears that you have. But I really like that, because as a new person, it was very scary, you know, saying things out loud to someone that you had learned to trust, but maybe something you've never said before, you know, those things that keep you up at night, those secrets in the closet. So it was a little scary. And so that, I thought that was a great way for me to begin. It's like, oh, I can do this, you know, and I did feel better afterwards. And then more recently, I shared them, the sponsor at that time, wonderful, wonderful sponsor. We spent probably 3 hours on the whole day, and we did it the way the big book says, and we took time to pray in between, time to just meditate and go back and make sure that I had divulged everything, or everything that came up was on the list. That felt really good. It felt really good because it was like, wow, I could actually say these things. You know, I didn't get involved in all the details, but you can go on and on. It was short and concise, like the instructions say. And afterwards, it was very, you know, uplifting. I had lifted all these burdens and so forth on me. But still, like more recently when I did it, I have to remember some things as a compulsive eater for me that are in the background, that are always in the background in my head, and they kind of become normal for me. Like, oh yeah, that's my normal. That's always there. You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe the piece of becomes part of the fabric. And there was a few things that more recently came up, and I was like, oh wow, that's interesting that came up. But I'm so glad that today I was able to do that and get it and be released of it. And that's all I have. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lorraine M. from California. We have time for a 1.5 minute, well, a 1 minute share. Anybody want a 1 minute share? Okay, well, maybe we'll just end a little bit early and we'll have more time to greet newcomers and hear from available sponsors. So stay on the line. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. Good morning, Jody. Good morning, my fellows. Dana P. in California, page 164 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.